Wrecking Ball Radio.
This is Davin's Den.
We're back. Listen to Davin's Den. Walt Papelio in studio. Joe Curry at the beach studio in the middle of Long Island. Did you get a lot of snow, Joe?
I got about 6 inches over here.
Oh, that's not bad. We got like 3 or 4.
That's it. We got nothing here.
Yeah, nothing. All right. Let me find the School of Fools music. This is quite the interesting story. As soon as I can fucking find the intro. This is where you fill, Walt.
Oh, yeah,
mind,
Joe.
I found it.
Oh, you got it?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You're as good at this as Joe is.
That worked.
Yeah. It's amazing.
I didn't know how long you were going to take.
I understand.
Until you had it.
I understand.
Joe, how do you put up with this guy?
School of Fool.
Well, this isn't an everyday story. Although, you know, who knows, maybe it is. Diana Volatich has been secretly hosting a white nationalist podcast called Unapologetic under the pseudonym Tiana Dalachov and boasting about how she spreads her hate-filled views in the classroom, the Huffington Post reported. In a podcast from February 26, Volatich, 25, interviewed a guest who complained about diversities in schools and dismissed the idea that a, quote, a kid from Nigeria and a kid who came from Sweden are supposed to learn exactly the same and have the same IQ. Volatich agreed and argued that, quote, science has proven some races are more intelligent than others, the website reported. In that same podcast, Volatich, who teaches social studies at Crystal River Middle School, bragged about spouting her racist beliefs at the school and hiding her repugnant views from other teachers, administrators, and parents. The parents of one student complained to the school's principal about Volatich, but she lied to the principal. She believed me and backed off, she said. When one of her guests suggested that white supremacists should become teachers in public schools, Volatich wholeheartedly agreed. They don't have to be vocal about their views, but get in there, her guest said. Be more covert and just start taking over those places. Right, she replied. I'm absolutely one of them. All right. I kind of think that if you're going to host a racist show, that's grounds for being fired.
Yeah, she put a foot in cow shit.
Yeah, but she was using another name.
I don't know what you're thinking. If you're a teacher and you're going to, look, if you're doing a racist show and you're some yahoo, who cares, all right, that's all right. But if you're a teacher, if that's your views, keep them to yourself. You're teaching, you're in a public forum, and what are you thinking? You're stupid.
But how did she get caught? That's the key.
Somebody must have heard the podcast.
All right, but how do you know it's her?
She's admitted. She's bragging about it.
All right, she's bragging about it.
She's bragging about it.
You get fired. You get fired. If you denied it all along and said it wasn't me, there's really no way to prove that.
Well, yeah, sure you could. You could do voice samples. You could do that.
Okay.
Yeah. But
you think school's going to do that?
Voice samples? Yes, she admitted it.
Yeah, you admit it, then
admitted
you're
it.
Gone.
She brags about it.
All right, then you're gone.
What'd you say, Joe?
What I'm saying is that if she was denying it or whatever, I mean, with voice samples, yeah, but she flat out was on there saying it,
What about, say she was exemplary in every other aspect of her teaching career except for her love of racism.
Makes all that null and void, doesn't it?
I agree with you. I agree.
Back in the 70s, this would have been acceptable.
Back in the 70s, this would have been acceptable?
Yeah, you ever watch All in the Family?
Yeah.
It was a TV show.
Yeah, well.
They weren't letting Archie teach. Archie was a dock worker.
Yeah.
I'm not saying racism didn't exist.
They're going to write some things on the board. This year is for racism there.
Yeah. Yeah, you dumb bastard.
You know it's a hack impression, Joe, when club owners are fucking doing it. Oh, that's all I'm saying.
Wasn't basing my set on it.
Thank God.
Ah, geez,
Thank
Joe.
God. We know a bunch of comics who do, and they should stop.
And they're making good money on a cruise ship. But
no, they're making good money at clubs all over the tri-state area as well.
Okay.
What, the Archie Bunker invitation?
Among others.
Oh, yeah. My God. I know who you're talking about, too.
Archie Bunker can go. Christopher Walken can go. Especially since if you heard Christopher Walken, he no longer sounds like the comedian's impressions of Christopher Walken. And Arnold Schwarzenegger can go. All three of those impressions need to be excused immediately.
You know,
I do them at home.
No, I'm not saying you. You don't do them in your act.
Joe doesn't do any impressions in his act. Do you, Joe?
I do an impression of a comic.
It's right. Pretty bad, actually. It's a pretty bad impression.
Wait, Joe does his gangster voice. That's pretty much it in the act.
That's about it, yeah.
Hey, she?
Joe's got so much other anger to bring to the table. He doesn't need to hide behind voices.
He doesn't need it.
Yeah, you're a very angry human being.
With the ketchup. I want my ketchup.
Thank you. Thank you. Exactly. He's upset about condiments.
Condiments.
Much like our pal gets upset about stepping in dog
shit. Put it on my arm and I'm going to lick it off.
Let's be honest. These Long Island comics get upset about shit nobody else cares about.
Oh, yeah.
It's the snow.
It's very fucking stressful living on Long Island, apparently. The LIE does something to them.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, I stepped in cat and dog shit. Let me yell at this for 20 minutes and get an applause break. Ooh, they want me to eat healthier, so let me not have ketchup. Let me rant about this for 7 minutes. Meanwhile, he doesn't eat ketchup anymore because he wants to live.
We're kept off the mainland for a reason.
It's a salt. Well, you guys are living on New York's dick.
Yeah.
They're the bump on New York's cock.
You're the fucking... That's Montauk is the bump on the cock.
Ay, ay, ay. They have... It's a very Northeast thing. For comics to be pissed off about something that really nobody should be that upset about.
I like when Joe does his angry.
I'm not saying it's not funny.
Yeah.
But it certainly plays differently here in the Northeast than it does in other regions.
Right.
You know, in the Northeast, whenever you go to that, you're going to get a lot of love and support.
It's sure don't play well in Myrtle Beach, I can tell you that.
Joe, let me ask you.
Listen, I didn't say anything. I'm just saying. I wasn't saying. I'm just saying, you know, in the Northeast, everybody's as angry as you are. You go to other places and go, why is he so upset?
Joe, how many times do you think you have done the ketchup joke?
Oh, plenty. Yeah, a lot.
How many? Just a number. Just a figure. Just to throw it out there.
I would say about 125 times.
That's it? That's it?
Maybe. I would say, yeah, let's
No, you do it in every time you do an act. You've only worked 125 times?
No, that's how old, you know, just going.
Is there a point?
The point is, how do you still stay angry at that joke?
He's fucking acting. He took acting classes.
Yeah, it's all acting at this point. You can't be angry at ketchup. You can't show it every
time. Actually, in Joe's defense, he can remain angry about bullshit for quite a long time. Don't sell him short.
And you want to know something? I get this trip. It's me, probably, because I never really thought I portrayed myself that angry on stage. Because
you surround yourself with other angry people.
Oh, you do, Joe.
Yeah, he's very angry.
Oh, very angry on
very
stage.
Very angry on stage.
I'll try to be nice.
No, you don't have to. It's your persona. It's fine. That's who you are on stage. You're pointing your finger. You're ranting. You're raving. You're pacing all over the place.
I want my ketchup. I want my burger. I want to have a heart attack, and I want to die.
There you go, Walton. That's true.
There I am with a drunken brother-in-law. I mean, really, they're bringing in the man's addiction into your fucking hostility.
You know, I actually thought of bringing that one back because I was thinking about that. It actually made me laugh.
It's a good bit. It's a good bit. But, I mean, Joe gets angry at fucking... I remember when Joe was angry at a fucking ATM machine. Hell, they call it an ice machine. No, it's a scumbag machine. These are all Joe Curry
Joe's,
anger classics.
It's an angry comic.
I remember the time we were on the road and I was up for literally 27 seconds and I hit my head on the headboard and I started yelling and cursing. And you look at me and go, you haven't even been up for 27 seconds and you're furious.
Yeah, he bangs like, God damn it, you just fucking woke up.
Yeah.
I wasn't even up literally a minute, and I've had it.
Yeah, he's very... So his anger is genuine. So
yeah,
you say, how upset can you be at ketchup? He can be upset.
125 times, that's, you know, probably, you know, the 40th time you're going to be like, you know what, I can't be angry at this anymore.
We know people that have been angry at the same shit, making good bank for 30 fucking years.
That's a good point.
You know,
that's a good point.
But it's very regional, that type of anger. You
Somebody
can't be
very
that,
angry at bread and milk.
Bread and milk, McDonald's, the fucking toys.
Kanye West, coffee the other day.
This one's angry at stepping in dog shit. You know.
Right, speaking of bread and milk, you know, when they go, like, they're thinking of going out west a little bit or down, say, you know, and they're wondering, and I think he's going to be, like, not headlining the bill, but in the milk, because you don't know how, but we were discussing how that's going to play out of the area.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm saying this area, New York, New Jersey, exports very angry comics.
Oh, because we eat the shit up. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. No, it's certainly a genre that doesn't play everywhere. Would you think of me as an angry comic? Well,
yeah.
Yeah, I do, actually.
Really?
You're not as angry as Joe. Because you're not as an intimidating figure.
He's
as
bigger
Joe.
Than I am.
Yeah, but you are an angry comic. You know when you do it, when you look at the audience and you're like, you didn't get that? And
yeah,
you
that's true.
You slap your leg.
The shit out of them.
Yeah, well, that's true. And my anger is genuine because I'm disgusted at their stupidity.
Yeah, that they're not laughing at it. So yeah, he's a...
He's a nicer angry comic.
Nicer angry. Yeah, no, that's fair. I am very frustrated by stupidity. And I know these jokes work.
He's like, oh, my God, that's a good joke. That's a good joke.
It is a good joke. It wouldn't be in the act. I'm not fucking doing it. Well, I am doing loon material.
Is that part of your act, though, when somebody doesn't get the joke and then you play? Yeah. It is.
It's part of it.
It's part of it.
Because I know how to play with it.
Right.
And everything. Yeah. But, now I did a show a couple of weeks. I was with John Ivorone, our pal. And we were the first show on Saturday night.
You did a headstand?
John does the headstand.
Was that in Kentucky when you went to Kentucky?
Yeah, when John and I went to Kentucky. And there was the audiences were good, but on the first show on Saturday night, they were just exceptionally fucking stupid. And I was disgusted with
it's
them.
Kentucky.
No, but they were fine the rest of the week, but it was just this particular show. So I actually just fucking threw up the surrender flag and go, all right, I'm not going to do the smart shit. I'm going to do the shit I used to talk about years ago just so I can get through this fucking
set.
So
you got them.
Yeah.
Belittling them actually brought them closer to you.
No. them beating me down brought
them closer to me.
Exactly. After 10 minutes, I just fucking threw up the surrender flag and go, fine, here's the stupid shit I don't talk about anymore.
All right. Well,
hey, you want to know something? I was working down at Mohegan over in the Poconos. It's the first time I worked with for Scott and Ann in a year. And, you know, we were talking about it. I said, well, it was due to we wanted you here. It was just due to the rotation thing. However, going in, I just did my regulation softball set, you know, and I had great sets, but you know, there were, you know, I'm on stage saying to myself, boy, oh boy, I'm not doing the stuff I really want to do. But nonetheless, I had great, you know, you got to do,
you got to adjust.
You gotta do,
it's know? Not as satisfying though. That's that same week I was with John, the last show on Saturday night, which may have been our best audience, or at least our best table, because there was a group of African American people, and they were fucking fantastic. Right. But
you mean blacks?
Yeah, them too.
Oh.
I actually just did, and I'll do this a lot of times. I'll do this actually a good amount of times. When I'm at a club for like a week, like the last show on Saturday night, I'll just dig up shit that I don't do anymore.
Right.
And it was just like a lot more of the softball stuff anymore. And Ivorone's like, damn, that's the stuff I love. And I'm like, yeah, and the audience enjoyed it. But kind of like you, Joe, it kind of kills me a little bit inside because I want to talk about shit. There's issues that are going on that are smarter, that are more challenging, that not everybody's talking about that I want to cover.
Right, now on that tour, you were middling, right?
I was.
Okay, now I'm not busting your balls. You know, I'm just
sounds like you are.
I will be going back there as a headliner, though.
No,
that's good.
But
why you do it.
Yeah.
I wasn't being a wise ass. I was just curious on that because, you know, you go in and you had that certain spot in the middle spot, you know, and you could really pick and choose what you want to do. You know what I'm saying? Because you do an hour. Now you've got an hour's worth of stuff to put in a 30. So, you
yeah.
know, you could really have a dynamite set when you have that much material to draw from.
Well, yes and no. Yes. I mean, when you're used to doing an hour and you're doing 30, you could certainly pick and choose, and there's certainly a lot more maneuverability in there. But the laughs don't get the same type of laughs that they would if you were headlining.
Because some of the segues are changed because you can, you know.
No, it's not even that.
People are groomed to think that
yes.
you laugh louder for the headliner because
yes.
he's funnier.
True, yeah, because I get a totally different, you know, reaction when I headline. They give you more when you headline.
Yes,
yes.
That's what I'm saying. Plus,
right.
they've been warmed up longer, so
right,
it's a different
right.
thing. But I did have in my mind, like on that that first show on Saturday, I'm being watched. I'm down here for a fucking reason to come back
yeah.
as a headliner. Stop
yeah.
fighting with these fucking people.
Yeah.
The club has already seen me get the audience with the smart shit. Just talk about being engaged.
Be funny, man.
Yeah.
Just be funny.
But
it doesn't matter.
Here's the thing, though, Walt.
If you got to go out there
here's
with
the
a
thing.
Clown nose on and juggling
no,
balls to be
yes,
funny,
yes
you got to do
no.
it.
Here's the thing. Funny's easy for me right now. That sounds very cocky. Being funny's not easy, although on this show tonight it might be a little challenging. But
thanks,
but,
Joe. It's all you, Joe.
It's all Joe and his bad connection. No, funny is easy for me. You know, and that's the first thing as a comic. Well, no, the first thing you want to be is original. Second thing you want to do is be funny. And now some comics never learn to be original, and some comics never learn to be funny. And then for me, the next evolution is to be smarter and different. And be funny and get them to talk about the things that I'm really care about. And that's where I am now. But because I'm not a name, I can't always do
Where's
that.
Where's angry? Where's well, angry on that list? You got
I'm
to turn
not, I'm not angry. When they're good, I'm not angry.
You're angry. When you're angry when you're scolding them, and you scold them a lot.
Well, they
and
deserve
I'm,
to be scolded.
And I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to be a dick again. And the same reason you might not notice that, I noticed, you know, a couple of times, oh, Joe's angry on stage, which I never noticed myself. I know I'm passionate, but I never came.
Here's what it is. Because of what I'm doing is kind of different than to what is a lot of out there right now. When I do hit the stage, whether it's first, second, third, wherever the fuck it is, it's a transition from what I'm doing to what other people are doing. So it can take a little while to get them on board. So shit that I'm accustomed to getting laughs out of the box usually don't always, because they're transitioning from something else. So that's when I get frustrated. It's not really genuine anger. It's like I want them on board. It's like, come on, people. I don't want to have to fucking slow this shit down.
I don't want to have to work for this.
Yeah, but, you know, I was talking to Keith Anthony on Sunday night, and we were talking about, you know, when you're doing material, it's like, you know.
He's an angry comic, too.
Stuff like that, where you want to be in the set with it, where you can get them to buy in, you know.
Yeah.
And it's all, you know, we were discussing it. It's all, you know, because he was going over some stuff that was a little edgy, and it was, you know, he's working on it, but, you know, we were talking, and what I'm finding is, it's all positioning. I'm starting to discover it's all positioning, where you get a lot of the character expansion, you know. So, yeah, it's a learning curve. You know, you're going to find that as you're doing these new segments that you're doing now, you know, you're going to find, you know, where it's all positioning, where they'll buy in.
Well, I also do my set ass backwards. I do the most challenging stuff in the beginning of the set, because that's the stuff I really care about.
I do the same.
And it's stupid.
You know?
It's stupid. Really? Really, what you should do is win them over, get them to like you.
And then,
and that's the whole thing with the positioning. You know, that's the whole thing with positioning.
Let me just tell you, you serve the wine first, and then when they get drunk, you serve them the water, and it becomes, you know, it tastes like the wine.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, but then they don't remember, and that bothers me.
No. What I'm saying is give them the good stuff, because the bad stuff later will turn into good stuff because they've already been prepped.
When I was teaching classes, that's the way I instructed them to do it. You're absolutely right. I just don't do it that way.
Right.
But, you know, I'm the same guy who has a fucking brand new joke, and I will do it that night in your club because I know I'll sell it. And if it doesn't work, I got outs to get through. I've done plenty of new stuff at your club or at any club. I'm not... just not going to – see, here's the thing that frustrates me about comedy, and then we'll move on to internet comedy. I get frustrated with these guys, and we all know them, that stop writing. I got my 30, I got my 45, I got my 60, and that's all they're ever going to write. And it's, to me, it's like, well, what's the point?
Yeah, I know. I try to go to something, you know, you're a radio guy. I try to go to the club with something new all the time, you know?
But
that doesn't always work, though, Joe. What I think you should do is you got your 45 minutes, okay? And you work on a killer 5 minutes. And then when it becomes killer, you put it into the act and take out the least killer 5 minutes.
See, that's
from
not
your
how
existing
I do
act.
It. That's smart. What you're saying. That's not how I do it. What gets out of my set is shit I either forget about or I just don't feel like talking about anymore. So more and more, so much more of my stuff is stuff within the past
but
couple
if it's
years.
Killer, man. You got.
I don't
keep
care.
It in.
I've always taken out applause break jokes because I know I'll write new applause break jokes. I'm not here now as a club owner. I get why you would want that.
Yeah, I want your best 45 minutes every time.
I get that. But I consider myself, and this is stupid, maybe, but I consider myself as a fucking artist, and I'm very selfish about it. And I want to. I know I'm going to deliver a killer 45 or whatever the fuck I'm doing for you. But I want to do it on my term because I know this new shit is even more important. Everybody fucking talks about dating. How many people are talking about guns? I'm getting applause breaks on fucking gun material. That fucking AR-15, that shit that just happened in Florida, that within a couple days, I had a new bit about guns getting applause break. Something had to get cut out of the act in order to do it, but I want to talk about that shit now because most comics don't have the balls to talk about it.
This is angry right now. You're angry.
You know, the good, you could do that. But Walt is right about one thing. It's like when I work on stuff, I always usually do it on Thursdays and Sundays. And when I go into a club, I usually have everything, you know, the
you have to do that.
But Walt is correct on one thing. Peter Bales used to say a lot of guys come to the club with new material all the time, but they never hone it, you know, and that's a very valid point.
Well, I hone it like I'm always honing it, but I'm going to, you know, when I work for Walt, there's going to be new stuff in there. I always tell people, I go, you will never see the same show twice with me, whether it's something I'm doing in the crowd or I got new jokes. So, I mean, it's disheartening for the fact that I'm competing, and I'll be honest, many times losing out to people that haven't fucking written a joke in 10 years. And, you know, and people are going, oh, you're great, but I'm like, nah, they're not. They're fucking mailing it in. This is what they do. I understand why they're working, and this is cocky maybe, but I'm thinking, you're not the comic I am. Even though they may get more laughs than I am, they're not fucking creating. They're like, this is my 45, this is what I'm going to do. It just doesn't float my
boat. Joe, I don't know if you know this. Whenever I have a show, and I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but if somebody comes and they start doing new stuff and they consider they just keep doing the stuff and it's not getting laughs, but it's new material, and I've heard their act before. So just say you come, and I'm using right. you as an example, and it's right. never happened with you, but you come and you I know your act.
Right.
The angry act. Then all of a sudden you become this nice guy, and you start talking about something else, and you're talking about, you know, butterflies and pancakes.
I want to see that stat.
I'm just saying, at that point, Monday morning, and Genio, you know, the booker calls me, I've had it go. I'll be like, I don't know, Joe tried this new material. He's like, ah, man, I tell him, don't try the new stuff on the weekends. Do that during the week at the club.
And I get why you want that.
Right, because I get one shot to make a good show.
But you've also seen...
Right, and that's what I usually do. That stuff I usually do during the week. And when I'm in your club or anybody's club, you know, it's prime time.
Right.
And it's prime stuff.
You should be doing that everywhere on the weekend.
But you see me doing new stuff, and if it doesn't work, I got ways to get out of it. Right. Like, I'm not going to go up there for 5 minutes and eat my dick on a paid show. Right. You know, or if I do eat my dick, I'm gonna try to make it so I don't. I'm going to have moves. So if I'm doing new stuff, and I've probably done new stuff every time I've ever worked for you, if it doesn't work, I'm going to move in. I'm going to move out. I'm going to get a
lot of people can do that, though.
I understand.
Not a lot of people
Thank
can
you.
Do that.
Thank you. But so, there's a responsibility to you.
Yes.
Because you're paying me. Right. This is a professional show. This is not an open mic.
And a responsibility to the patrons, too.
That's correct.
Right. Well, that...
Go in with your prime stuff.
And well, Walt has a responsibility. Walt has a responsibility to the patrons because they are paying for a good show at his
right.
venue. And I have a responsibility to Walt because Walt is paying me in American money to do a good job for him. So everybody has a responsibility.
Soon to be Russian money. But go ahead.
The ruble.
Or it could be online payment. From
little Bitcoin. Walt's going to pay us in Bitcoin.
I'm going to be the first club owner ever to pay in Bitcoin.
You're going to be the first club owner that doesn't have comics showing up every weekend.
No, but I do that, and there's a couple comics that I have to that I don't have back. I don't have them back.
And you give a lot more leeway than most do.
Yeah, and I don't have them back because it happened once, and I'm okay with it. Then it happens again. I'm like, you know what? This is not a place to be trying out new material.
Now, let me ask you: Do you ever have the conversation because the booker you have. Brings in the same ex quite a bit. There's not a lot of variety. Do you ever have the conversation? Go, listen, man, I've had him for 5 years in a row, and it's the same act every
no.
time. See, but you should be doing
no.
that, too. One of these guys, you should be doing
no,
that,
No, because
too.
You know why? If that's, and I know that, and I know that. And
you're
certain,
in the room. You know
right,
it.
There's certain comics that I know. And I actually, when I have a fundraiser or something attached to the show, I'll tailor somebody's act because I know they're not going to change it, and I know they're going to be funny, and I know they didn't see it.
So a guy like me would actually lose out in that scenario because I'm always writing and you don't know whatever. You know I'm going to do a good job for you, but you don't know what I'm going to bring to the stage because I'm writing all the time. So I lose out in that scenario.
No, because everybody's going to get their 6 months somehow. It's going to be – well, not you, but Joe, you do twice a year as a over at the club, right?
Yeah, I think I'm due.
Yeah, Joe does twice a year over at the club.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I try to do. But if I have a perfect example, there was a comic today. There's a comic that I have in the future, and I have a fundraiser on it. And they called me up, and they were a little concerned about the material that the comic does. They saw him online, and they said, this is a fundraiser for newborn babies, and the people coming are maybe just not going to – they don't want to see the raunchy and stuff like that.
Baby raping material.
So I moved it. I called up the comic today.
I thought there was no dates to move. You said there was no more dates.
No, I moved it. I don't have a date. I don't have a date for him. I have to put him in October. Well, when we come back in October.
Right. Okay.
Right. So I have to put
him
there.
So then
put
me in that date. I have openings.
No.
Jesus Christ.
No.
You let the man talk instead of
Holy
just
shit.
Up a weekend.
All he cares about
is
himself.
I need to get a weekend. He's fucking local.
All he's doing is talking.
It's my fucking show, of course. That's what I do. This is why
talk.
I get angry.
It's me.
Yes. The show is
Gabor.
Davin's Den. I can't call it me Den. That would be stupid.
So, but here's the thing. Yeah, you have to look at the comics and you have to tailor them, too. And I didn't want to lose an audience because they were going to come in with a bad attitude
so
already.
So you couldn't ask this comic to tailor the act?
I could, but I wasn't sure if he could do it. And,
oh, okay.
And when I spoke to him, he said, you know what, I would rather move the date
okay.
than come in with a negative attitude already against me.
Interesting.
You've got, yeah, as a club owner, you have an obligation to your patrons.
That's
and
correct.
And you know what your patrons want.
But
and
at the same time...
You know what? If comics will, well, I don't agree with that. Well, then you help pay the light bill, you know?
That's the first time I've ever done that. But I also allow, and this comic has also called me up and said a few times that he has to cancel, he's got a date, and I have to cancel.
Now, you're very good with that. You're very good with letting comics out, as I can attest to.
Yes, that Davin has done it. As a matter of fact, your picture is still flashing up there on one date, and I told Mike, he's not here that date.
That. You need people in the club, yeah.
But
really,
but I like if you have a date with me and you call up Tom and say, hey Tom, I got a gig that's going to pay me more money. Can I get out of this date? Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, and that's with anybody.
Now, Joe will never have that problem, of calling for more money, but,
you want to know something? For more money, like if it was Westbury Music Fair, I've done that before. But however, if a date's in the book, the date's in the book.
Yeah, but let's put it this way, and I'm not going to say whatever the money is, but just... If I'm paying you $500
right.
and you get a gig that same day that's going to pay you $2,500, you'd be stupid not to call me up and say, hey, can I switch my date?
Okay.
Right, and I have no problem with that.
No,
because the
like
fact
that.
Of the matter is, and don't take this as any disrespect, nobody's coming to see Joe Curry. They're coming for the Joker's Comedy Club experience. And that goes for everybody.
True,
I mean,
course,
besides
yeah.
like somebody like a Vic DiBattista or Sebastian Maniscalco, realistically, those names, nobody's coming to Joker's Comedy Club to see a certain comic.
Well, we just heard from you that somebody might not come to see a certain comic.
Well, they didn't say they wouldn't.
They were concerned.
And I'll explain to you off the air what happened with that. But I did call up the guy, and he was understanding about it because he has done it to me twice already.
Yeah, it's fair.
I let him out.
Right. Yeah, that's
and
fair.
And I'm not going to say, listen, I'm not saying.
But no, my point was, though, the original comic often gets penalized. Not intentionally, per se. Because you want the sure thing. I get that.
Yes.
You're right
with that.
And that's what I've been telling people. The business is not nurturing the way it was. Like where we saw these comics coming up from the 70s and 80s, because clubs would nurture the comics. You could work on things. You could change things.
Because there was a lot more clubs.
There was a lot more clubs, but club owners had a different mentality now. Now a lot more of them, whether it's Walt with his one day or even with a week. I got a show. I got four shows a week, and everyone has to be a home run. And it's been like this for a while. I said 10 years ago it wasn't good enough to have just good shows.
Governors, though, is allowing, Truson is allowing a lot of the comics. They're grooming a whole new crop of, the younger guys in their 20s. And you could see that. They're grooming. So and they'll let them.
Yeah, but they're doing that on a Wednesday night and letting them do it.
Right.
And sometimes they'll give them a weekend closing,
Yeah, but they're not going to give somebody, they're not going to say, hey, Anthony DiDomenico, go out and try all new material on Saturday night.
No, you can't do
let's
that.
Let's hope for the best. That's not happening.
What they'll do is they'll groom him on the Thursdays and the Sundays, and then they'll give him, headline him on
when they feel his material will kill the crowd. They're not just going to, take a leap of faith on that either. He doesn't have to.
My point is, in our industry, there is no longer the impetus for originality, growth, and creativity.
No.
Which is frustrating.
All you've got to do is make people laugh.
Right.
And
which is why people go up there with the arms and, the same shit. And it's just, it's frustrating.
Well, I'm going to throw another log in the fire here. A lot of the new comics coming up, these safe comics, you got these, new kids that are playing it so safe. Their acts are god-awful. A comic goes up there I remember it's Comedy Central. I'm watching the comedy special, and the comic's up there. Oh, when the wind blows, my eyebrows go to the right. And then when it blows, it gets all mustied up. And I'm like, what is this shit? And I'm not being complaining as a disgruntled comic. I'm complaining as somebody that's paying for basic cable. The new crop of comics are so, they're fucking awful.
I don't think
who are you talking about? Let's name names. I'm only kidding. Don't name names.
No, I think that's unfair. I think you're comparing the new crop of comics with what you see on Comedy Central. I think your beef, and a valid one, is with what Comedy Central's putting on there. But if you're playing in the clubs, and you're seeing all the newer young comics like I am, yeah, there's a lot of shit. But there's always been a lot of shit. But I'll just take African-American comics. It used to be...
Blacks?
Yes.
Blacks.
Yes. It used to be you knew you knew what they were going to do. You knew it was going to be this Def Jam style or black people or white people. I'm seeing a lot of these black comics, newer comics, much more interesting, much better material, much more personal. So I see it because I'm seeing it from both angles and everything. I'm seeing a lot of growth. I'm pretty excited about it. The problem is for guys like me who don't have management, who are getting a little older. I'm competing with guys that have been at this a lot longer than me and have been on the rotation for 20 years and don't fucking write.
But, bro.
And you're competing with guys that are a lot less than you.
Yeah.
A lot younger than you.
Yeah.
And are being, you know, being groomed because our ship has sailed, you know, on certain things.
Yep.
And that's where it is. So as an older comic, you still have to still stay true to what you are. And you still try to keep as relevant as you can, and you keep as funny as you can.
Let me say this. Joe, you do this. Davin, you don't do this. What I suggest to you is get your best 45 minutes and just keep doing it because everybody else is doing that.
Yeah,
don't try to be, you know, I know you want to be original and you want to be true to yourself and you want to, but that's not working.
Right, but what it actually does.
It would work better if you had 45 minutes of just killer material that you know you can go out there because club owners are going to know what they're getting. And I'm not saying I don't know what I'm getting with you. I don't care. I don't mean it because I know that you're going to be funny, but I'm saying that other club owners, like, you get killer 45 minutes. You're going to be going down and being at Gotham, and you're going to be at Governor's, and you're going to
be at the Stress Factory. No, the reason I'm not the places where I'm at is not the – where I work, I get asked back all the time. But the problem is I don't have management. I don't have connections. It's always been the same things. And also I have a unique problem in that what I do, and this is my problem, does not translate on video. My show is, and a lot of comics have a much better show.
I remember we had this discussion on the when we went on tour. That's something that you got to figure.
I understand that.
What about the cowboy hat? Bring the cowboy hat back.
No, you look like the Jewish Yosemite Sam.
Joe, you should get a cowboy hat too.
He did. Look at his profile picture.
The funny cowboys, the hilarious cowboys.
Joe likes to play dress up too. Don't let him fool you. No, but what I do, because I do weave talking to them in with material, where it's not like I'm just doing crowd or I'm just doing material, it doesn't, and because I will go on tangents, which I don't expect to do, it doesn't translate.
Don't go on it.
But it's a better live show.
You're 43. Yeah, you need to get something that works, bro.
It all works.
I'm not saying it doesn't work.
You've got to prepare to do a video and be prepared with material and less crowd work on that for a video.
I do that, and every time I tape, something goes fucking wrong.
Well, back to the old drawing board. You got to stick to your guns. Look, let me tell you something. A lot of people go, I mean, I remember Adam Ferrara going on stage, and he was taping a whole thing, and he was trying to do pre-production for a whole thing, and then some asshole said something in the audience he had a riff on. The whole damn night was shot.
Yeah.
It's going to happen, but you got to...
No, I do record.
Well, you got to keep tape every time you go out.
I do. Most times. Some places you perform, you're like, even if I fucking kill here, nobody wants to see me killing at the Elks Lodge. You know.
I understand that. So you got to pick and choose.
I do, but a lot of times, like when it's a really good crowd, there's no place to set up the fucking video. You know that too.
I understand that. But, you know, when that night comes where it looks like a good crowd and it looks like there's a place to set the video and everything's perfect, you go on there and you try, you know. You do your best to try.
Well,
and
also
you have to. There's no argument.
20 to 25 minutes of what I'm doing now is topical stuff. It's fairly current, and you don't want to put that online because that's not going to age well.
Okay, that point taken. You're going to have to figure. You're going to have to sit right out your set. You know, you see that manifesto I drag everywhere with me. You should. That's everything. You know, and you should put it.
Which brings us back to. Just try this. Write down your best 45 minutes that isn't topical, that is going to be timeless, and that you can do
I would actually
any
have to
time.
Rework. There's so much material I don't do anymore. I would actually have to go back and start
practicing. But go get the best of that material you don't use.
If this is a stumbling block on a lot of points, you're going to have to figure it out.
Let me ask you a question. Do you really want to see me talking about fucking commercials?
Do you really want to see you work in more clubs?
I work. The issue's not work. The issue. I work. It's getting in with new places, and like I said, the tape.
All right, let's go back to that. Do you want to sit and do the same? You want to get into new places? If you want to get into new places, yeah, I do want to see you doing the same old stuff, so you can get the damn tape done, and
that's
you
right.
can start getting into these clubs you want to get into.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, I am trying to. The problem is less and less. I have less and less bits to choose from that are generic.
Mm-hmm.
You know that, and that's the hard part. That's what you got to put out there. That's
yes.
I have the cop thing, which is very generic, very funny, gets a great reaction. So now I'm trying to find, and not that the jokes are generic, but it's a generic topic. So I don't have a lot of dating stuff. I don't have a lot of raising the kids stuff. I don't have a lot of marriage stuff, and I'm probably not going to write that stuff. So I got some travel stuff that's on there, but I don't have a lot of just generic shit, and that's the problem. I don't write that way anymore.
Right.
I would say that the topical stuff gets lost, and I know you're proud of yourself for being that comic.
It's just where my head's at.
Right. That's you're proud of yourself that I can riff about something that's in the news yesterday, and make a joke about it and be funny about it. But the fact is, to you, being that guy doesn't always translate to the audience.
No, that's true.
That's all.
That's true. Because there's the difference between the city and the road, where the city might want to.
I hate city comics. I hate them.
I'm not a city comic.
They don't translate well up here.
Right, but I can play both.
Okay.
I do play both.
I'm just telling you. I think you would have more dates in your book if you had a 45 minutes that a comedy club. Owner
well, here's the problem. I have less dates in my book because there's less clubs. The clubs I used to work are gone, and the bookers I used to work for are gone. There's just not as much work, and there's more comics than ever. That's the reality of it. And I don't travel like I used to. I used to be gone 40 weeks a year.
Well, you know what? And I'm even gonna go on a limb with this. And like comics like Jeff Norris, I think that's who it was being mentioned before with the impressions.
Don't know what you're talking about.
But
Mattress
funny.
Firm.
Jeff Norris is funny. Jeff Norris has a killer 45-minute set that he pleases everybody that he goes out with. And he will be hired at the same place next year to the same crowd doing the same material.
Yeah.
That's it. And Vic DiPetetto is another comic. He does the same material.
No, Vic's different, though, because he became a sensation with the YouTube.
But it's a killer 45-minute
set. I understand. And I've said it here. I just said it today.
Can Vic do what you do? No. No, Vic can't go out and make a joke about the mail bombs in Austin, Texas today. He can't do it. You can.
But, right, and that's what's soul crushing about the business.
But people want to see Vic's killer
right,
45
no,
minutes. And I'm saying to you, make a killer 45 minutes that people want to see time after time after time. And then you can fit in another 5 minutes and take out your worst 5 minutes. That's how I think it should
I would
be.
Have to.
If you get in the club, you know, the point is to get into new clubs. Once you get into the new club and they see that, you start putting in some of the original stuff you want to do, and you get your foot in the door.
No, I know. I'm trying to. I try to show the generic shit on video. I just don't have as much of it now. And I, you know, honestly, if I went back and, you know, I could do the dating stuff and the marriage stuff. I would have to relearn it, to be honest with you, because it's so long since I've done a lot of that stuff. And I could certainly bring back a lot of the Jewish stuff.
Yeah, but here's the double-edged sword on that. The passion that you had the first time around, and a lot of times, like if you and it, you know, it happens to me, it happens to a lot of comics that you'll do like jokes that have been around for a while in your act, and sometimes jokes that were killer are suddenly not doing that well, and the reason is that the passion you had for it kind of waned, and you're not selling.
But Joe, you still have the passion of the ketchup.
Yeah, I do, because I still believe in that joke, and
it's still fairly new,
right?
So you know.
But you can do it. You can get that passion back.
Yeah, but Joe's guilty is the same thing I am. Joe is taking more chances now, and he has gotten rid of a lot of his generic material that always got him big laughs and everything.
Joe, you work for Dino down at Uncle Vinny's, right?
Yes.
Okay. If you go in there and did your, whatever, 25 minutes to 45 minutes, whatever you're doing, if you're featuring or if you're headlining, you went in there and did 45 minutes of new material, and you weren't getting all that laughs, but you were happy because you did that. You got some chuckles, and it was new stuff, and you worked it out.
45 new material.
Well, whatever. If you did 25 material,
would call me in the office after the weekend and go, "Look, I don't know what you're doing, but Joe, if you're going to keep doing, I can't use you. I can't, you know.
And that's exactly what's
I think
what I'm
saying. I think we're talking about extremes, though. I think we're talking about the guy who never changes his act versus the guy who comes in and is going to do his brand new half an hour while he's fucking getting paid on your stage.
But the thing about it, you know, but also it's a double-edged sword too, Walt, on that, because I was working for Dino a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about this, that, and the other thing, and a lot, and one of the discussions was that a lot of guys, but it's the week shows, the Wednesday, Thursday shows, where a lot of guys have come down. I wrote an immense amount of material there, and a lot of guys are coming down there. And Dino sees a lot of the weekend headliners will come down and work on stuff. You know, we still, because, you know, the crowds are a little bit lighter, and, you know, it's a little hit and miss, but we always try to deliver our best stuff. But, you know, he does give us the chance to work on stuff. However, Friday and Saturday, when that place is packed, you know, and
you got to do your proven stuff.
Well, that place, it's got to be top-notch and running on all cylinders.
You got to do your proven stuff. That's it. And
right, exactly.
I agree. Most comics do have to do that.
Yes, they do, but not all do.
Right. Well, I said, I think,
and I notice it.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
But you've also seen me do new stuff when it work, yes, and new stuff where it doesn't work, and I fucking figure it out and I get out of that. I don't. There's never like 5 minutes.
You're getting angry right now.
I'm getting very angry right now.
I'm just telling you, try something different.
No,
that's
I understand,
all.
But I'm saying you've never seen me do 5 minutes, whether it be new or old shit, and eat my dick. I've never ate my dick for 5 minutes in your club. I'll figure it out because I know there's an obligation to you and your partner.
Maybe I have. Have I?
No, I don't think so. And I was your house MC for a while, and I was just doing all new shit up front.
Yeah, but that's okay as a host to do that.
No, it's not okay. I can't eat my dick for 15 minutes when you're paying me and I got to warm up.
No,
the
I don't
show.
Want you to. But
especially with a host, when you have to host, you know, you got to do the tried and true stuff because your job is to set that whole show.
See, but I don't do that.
Whole damn night up. So they, you know, if I'm walking into Governor's or, you know, on a Wednesday, a Thursday or a Sunday, and I've got all this new stuff I want to work on, and they go, Curry, you're emceeing. That's all out the window. I'm doing the stuff I usually do because I got to set up the whole damn night and run it. And there's no, you know, and it, the whole dynamic of that night changes.
See, I don't feel pressure about material. I feel pressure to succeed. It's an internal pressure.
Right.
It's and that's why I get quote unquote angry, because I'm angry that shit isn't working the way I want it to. But I'm not gonna.
Every comic does. Every comic. You want to go in there and you want to be run out on everybody's shoulder.
Well, according to Walt, that's not the case.
Well, hang on. Let me just say this. Every headliner that I know of, besides R.C. Smith, but most of the headliners, I would say 99% of headliners have a set 45-minute set that they come into the club and they do. They might veer off 5 minutes here, 8 minutes here, but for the most part, they have 35 to 45 minutes of set material that they come in and they do, and they're always hired. They're working every weekend. They're working every club. So, I mean, it's just what I see. That's
yeah,
all.
And like I said, this weekend, you know, I haven't. I really wouldn't wanted to work the casino. I got in, you know, and it's got to have always used me and liked me. But I wanted to demonstrate. Yeah, it's been 4 years, and I know it's rotations, but I'm still solid as I have been, still as funny as I have been, you know. And I'd like, you know, I want to do the casino again and the other room, the other new room. So I wrote out a set list that I knew was tried and true.
That's right.
And I went in, and both shows, I had fantastic sets both shows. There was no time for experimenting this past week.
Very, very. That's all
and
I'm saying.
Fine.
No, I understand.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah. There's no chance on the weekends to experiment. That's
right.
What. That's why those clubs, like, I don't even want to say the Stand, but the Grizzly Pear and all of those down in the city, those are where you try that stuff out and then put it in your act when it works.
Well,
you have 45 minutes.
I think that might be accurate for.
Do you want me to manage you?
I don't think you can bring anything to the table. What? If you could, I'd love you to.
Dude, you just blinked your eyes about 400 times in a matter of three seconds.
He does that when he gets mad. He looks like a pissed off rat.
He's very hurtful, this one. He's very angry. Yeah. He's alone. He's got his little fucking
his little
napkin starfish fucking table, talking on a phone.
He's probably
all by
over
himself,
there lifting like a 2.5 pound weight on the table.
He don't fucking move shit, lifting anything. He's fucking lifting a sandwich to his gullet. Look at him. He's a very angry individual.
You're upset because I was right about the rat joke.
I don't think that's I don't think that's accurate at all. I don't think I look like a rat. Yes, but your point is heard. I agree. That's right for about 80% of the comics. 80% of the comics you can definitely tell when something is brand new and it sticks out like a sore thumb.
Yes.
And it's not fair to the audience.
Right.
I know. I agree with that. What I'd say, and I could be completely wrong, what I would say to you is one of my abilities is that if I'm doing new shit, you usually can't tell if it's new shit.
When was the last time you did a show and then the next show was the exact same show? Never. The answer is never. I know the answer already.
It's never. I mean, well, there's certain jokes I do almost every show.
Yes, but a 45. If you said that,
no,
if you
never.
Went in, no, it's never happened.
No,
I'm telling you, try that.
But what I'm telling you is that's also why I could play a place like Atlantis and have a couple come back four nights in a row.
Well, you know why Davin does that? Because basically, what he does is he's very good at crowd work and very quick. So he does a different show every time because the audiences are different every time. So he might start something, and he might get a reaction that the first show didn't have.
I agree.
And now the show is taking a different dynamic. And
yeah.
Like I said, I'm not, you know, I'm
no, it's right. It's accurate.
But that's why I said with except
I'm
for
very
R.C.
ADD.
Smith. I said except for R.C. Smith.
Yeah, but his crowd work.
Listen, let's put it this way.
Is his crowd work? I'm going to take myself out of the equation. Is his crowd work the same as Joseph Anthony doing crowd work? It's a different type of crowd work.
Yeah. No, it's a different type of crowd work.
Joseph Anthony, when he's doing crowd work, that is the type of stuff that is in the moment.
But Joe can do 45 minutes without doing any crowd work.
Right, right.
Well, Archie Smith can't.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Right. Where I would say is I try to be more like...
Or doesn't. I don't know if he can't, but he doesn't.
I try to be more like a Joseph Anthony type of comic than the Archie Smith.
But you still should have that 45 minutes in your head that says, you know what, this
is my...
Lately,
I've been doing a lot more material and a lot less
crowd. Just do your best 45 minutes. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know what that is. That's the problem.
Well, you've got to write it down and find out what your best 45 minutes is. And all I'm saying is try it. Try it for a month in five different places and just do it and hone it and then, you know, perfect it and tighten it and tighten it and tighten it. Because the fact of the matter is, if you ever go see Mike Marino does a great kill of 45 minutes. Jeff Norris does a great kill of 45 minutes. Vic DiPetetto does a great tight 45 minutes. And I'm going to Rodney Laney. I'll go right down
the line.
Here's
the thing.
And those guys are working every
weekend. Here's the
thing,
though. With the exception of one of those people, they're all playing the stuff. Let's put it this way. Where I am at is not my goal. I will just leave it like that. I am not, and maybe it could be completely stupid. I am not satisfied with that. Right now.
With what? Where you are in the comedy world.
Where I am, where a lot of those people are. It does not... I'm when I'm at the gig, I'm happy to do the gig. And I'm going to pour myself 110% into that gig. But I don't want to be doing those gigs forever. And I don't want to be doing that same stuff for those same types of people forever. I like doing those things. I'm happy to do them. I just have different ambitions. Whether
it's the line you got to walk. You know, there was
that's right.
There was,
and I do. I walk it.
You have to take the results,
sometimes,
though.
Sometimes, you know, if I'm going over stuff, sometimes the audience likes it. Sometimes, you know, it could go a little bit better. But there was one night I was working over at Rockwell, and I forgot the name of who I was working with. But he goes, "I like what you're doing." And I'm like, "You do?" And he goes, "Yeah, you got to keep going in the direction you're going." I go, "Well, there's some lonely night." He goes, "Doesn't make it. Just keep going with,
right.
You know, with what you do." It was Buddy Fitzpatrick. I was working with Buddy.
Right.
But he goes, "You know, you changed all your stuff, you know." And sometimes, like I said, when it's the weekends and I want to, you know, I want to make sure everything goes smoothly. And, you know, but, you know, on those Thursdays and Sundays when it's time to play, you know, I want to change it up. I want to explore a little bit, you know.
Well. Listen, I, there's nothing wrong with playing one-nighters and firehouses and moose and elks. They're all great gigs, all a lot of fun. They all pay the bills. I'm happy to have them. Wish I had more of them. Not what I want to be doing. Not ultimately where
I
want to be.
What do you
want to
do? What do you want to do?
Honestly, I'll tell you what I want to do. First of all, this will be a daily drive time show. Obviously, one of the big... big hurdles I've had, because people like the show. I've shown to enough people in the industry. They really like the show. It's something different. One of the hurdles I have is we don't get numbers, and I, in order to do a daily show, I need to be bringing enough income for Joe and Pip to leave their day jobs. But I'm talking to a new place. We're working towards it. That's one of my goals, and really what I should be doing, I probably at this point should be writing for a late night show. I probably should be writing for people that are doing daily monologues. As much as, like, remember Brian Kiley?
I don't know.
All right, Brian Kiley, very funny guy, clean. He was writing. He's writing for Conan, and he was a good stand up, a very good stand up, great stand up comic, great headline. That's probably what I should be doing. I probably should be writing for a Daily Show or a Seth Meyers or a Kimmel or whoever, and doing gigs on the weekend. That's probably where I should be.
What have you done to do that though?
That's the thing.
Right.
That's the thing. I've looked into it.
Not easy to do. But
it's not.
Well, how do you think Joey Cola got the gig
that's
with Rachel?
That's a different type of thing. Joey Cola is doing warm ups. That's a different type of thing.
Okay.
I'm not talking about being a warm up. Right. I'd probably be a very good warm up comic. I probably would.
Well, do you know John Reinman?
He would be a very good warm up comic.
Thank you.
Do you know John Reinman?
I don't know John.
You know Joe? You know John Reinman?
No, I don't know.
All right. John Reinman is the head writer for the Tonight Show.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. But he's been at the club.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a killer 45-minute set.
Right. Right. Well, I think if you have that outlet where you're – I think it's different if you have that outlet where you can do all your new shit, all the topical stuff, and then go, okay, here's my 45 club set. I think you can do that. I don't have that other outlet. The radio show is my outlet. So often Joe will be saying, oh, you should put that in the act, and I forget to put it in the act. The radio show is an outlet for me. But I think that's the Tonight Show is one outlet for him. That's his job. And then he's having his fun.
But I think he got that job because somebody saw him.
Right. Nobody's seeing
doing
that.
His 45 minutes.
You got to remember.
Guys get that job, too, because they know somebody and they submit.
Right.
And they submit and they submit and things get, you know, they take.
Yeah. But they're submitting a killer 45 minutes.
It was also, no, they're not. They're submitting jokes. It used to be by fax machine. Yeah. Now it's email. You got to understand, it's who you know. I might have made a mistake years ago by going on the road. Made me a much better comic. Made me the comic that can now walk into a Joker's Comedy Club and deliver a great set. Made me a much better comic. But I probably should have been in the city, and I would have matured as a topical comic way.
That's, you know, like I said, I could say the same thing. You know, I wish I went into the city. You know, a little earlier on, it stuck. But you know, the city was just so cliquish and stuff like that I just didn't have the patience for it.
All right, let's move on because
if anybody hasn't killed themselves now from this conversation.
Well, I was going to talk about the end of comedy on the internet. Do you want to talk about that?
Why not?
Yeah, it correlates with what we're talking about.
I understand. I was afraid it's too much fucking coral. We don't usually talk about this much comedy.
Yeah. Well, you have three comics. You know,
Walt is a comic?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm funny.
Walt is a half-ass shortstop. Let's fucking slow our roll.
I do everything a little good.
Yes, you're
a little good.
You're a jack-off of all trades.
Yes, listen to me. If you go up on stage and you entertain an audience, you're a comic.
Thank you. I can do that for two or three, 2 minutes.
Yes. John Ivorone and I were actually discussing it. Walt's mode of comedy is fucking insult comedy.
Yes.
Welcome to my club.
Hey, but I don't look at it as anything more than that.
Neither do we. Neither do we. We look.
I know what I am.
We look at it. This is Walt's chance to insult people.
That's it.
But he's laughing and he's likable enough that he could do it for 3 minutes.
That's it.
Yeah, but you know what, Davin? Walt can't be any worse than Kaplan, where the first 5 minutes when you get up there is calming everybody down.
No, Walt's better. No. Walt's likable. Walt's likable.
I love Kaplan, but you know what it's like.
No. Yeah. Well, no. Walt actually tries to be funny.
I got a compliment from Joey Callahan. Joey Callahan said to me, he goes, you have such a presence on the stage. He goes, people would kill for that. Now all you need is funny stuff to say.
Yes, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yes. And to go against your instincts to insult everybody.
Yes.
You're kind of like Rich
Please
Carucci.
Come back. Please
you're
come back.
You're kind of like Rich Carucci's a fucking insult comic. The only difference is Rich doesn't own a fucking club. You take their money and then call them out for giving you their money. It's very weird.
It's your birthday. You're an asshole.
Yeah. Why
Please
you,
come back.
Why you're an asshole. Why are you here? Now that you're here, I'm going to insult you.
Please come back.
Yeah.
Be sure. We do this every Saturday night. The bar's still open.
Yeah. Are we playing softball this year?
We are.
Okay, good. All right. Everyone wants to play.
Half-ass shortstop.
Yeah, you're a very fine half-ass shortstop. I'm a half-ass right fielder.
Right.
It works out.
Well, second baseman, that falls down.
I got bad wheels. What do you got? All right, so this is about comedy on the internet now. This is not stand-up.
I'm not even sure what that means, but go ahead. Explain that to me.
Sketches, skits, funny shorts
okay.
on the internet.
Like Brett Eidman does.
Yes, actually okay. one of the sites, Funny or Die, where yes. Brett is on, is actually that's actually about this site, Funny
okay.
or Die. So in its second round of layoffs in many years, Comedy Hub, Funny or Die, reportedly eliminated its entire editorial team, following a trend of comedy websites scaling back, shutting down, or restructuring their business model away from original online content. I was just talking about originality. They blame Facebook, saying there's no money in digital content anymore. The whole story is basically that Facebook gets so much traffic that they started convincing publishers to post things on Facebook. For a long time, that was fine. People posted things on Facebook. Then you would click on the link and go to their website. So, you know, right. You would post a Funny or Die video on Facebook. They would see it there. Then they would go on to Funny or Die. But then gradually, Facebook started exerting more and more control of what was being seen. They have all these algorithms to the point that websites essentially became Facebook became the main publishers of everybody's content.
So when Brett Eidman put up a thing the other day about the Bruce Willis Death Wish.
I watched it.
It was funny.
Yeah, it was funny.
It was funny. So when I click on that on Facebook, I'm not getting taken to Funny or Die. Facebook now has that on their site.
That's what they're saying.
Okay.
That's what I got the impression of as well.
Right. Whereas when I post stuff for the radio show, I put a link
That takes you to the show.
Yes, right. I'm still doing it old school, but the algorithms are controlled that much more people will see it the way Brett did it, per se, than the way I did it. So Facebook won't allow people to see my post where I have a link, hey, come to my website, where they used to do that. What Facebook will now do is they will, hey, you want people to come to Davin's, then pay us.
Right.
We will promote it.
And then shoot them over there.
Exactly. So now I have to pay for the same shit.
I'm just taking the video, I'm putting it on my server, Facebook, and that's it. I'm never bringing them to Davin's Den website.
So Facebook has it coming and going now. So now, because people are not generating the money that they were from their websites, they're actually paying Facebook for the privilege to see it, but there's no money coming back to the websites. That's the argument. So they said that Facebook is the editor and boss. So basically Facebook is now deciding what goes on, where, you know, we used to decide. So they said what is successful, what isn't successful via their metrics, which nobody knows what the hell their metrics are. So you can't even plan to put out content that would do well to their metrics. You can't even plan to do that because we don't know what their metrics are. So the only thing you can do is pay them for content.
Okay. That's why Facebook rules the world.
Right. So, what this argument is saying, they're favoring things that are clickbait, you know, like really stuff that doesn't involve a lot of thought, I guess. You know, click here, click here. And low quality things that appeal to the lowest common denominator. That's what the article's saying. Facebook is essentially running a payola scheme where you have to pay them if you want to see your own fans. That's what they're saying. Let's see.
Does Facebook own YouTube?
Google owns YouTube.
All right, so I took a video off of YouTube the other day
and
put it on my Facebook page, and then I clicked on it to see where it took me, and it took me back to YouTube again.
Right. Yes. But you have to get somebody to click on there, whereas like Facebook, you can actually, I believe, embed videos in Facebook, and that'll get posted up higher with their algorithms. So now the suggestion is boycotting of Facebook in order to get them to change how they operate. Funny or Die has shifted.
Nobody's ever boycotted Facebook.
I want to get to that because you might be right. Funny or Die has shifted its business model towards television and away from content online. So the things like that Brett did, they're not really doing as much of that anymore.
Right. You never Brett see used, it. Brett used to do fucking two a week.
Right. He used to be on there all the time.
Now
Brett didn't get less funny. He didn't get less talented. They're just not doing as many things.
That's right.
So the writer John Herman writes about this a lot. He said he used to write for The All, the AWL. Do you remember that?
Nope.
I don't know. Rest in peace. He talks about how Facebook flattens everything out and makes it the same. That's how we have Russian propaganda problem. An article from something, like, and he makes up a website. So what he's saying is, like, an article from the Russian, the teen in Russia looks the same as something, as an article from the Associated Press. There's no difference. And Facebook uniforms everything. So the user, it can't see the difference. Like, Mad TV had a look versus a different Vanity Fair. Once you put it on Facebook, it all looks the same.
Sure. Right. What is that? AR something?
AWL.
When you look at like something on Facebook, when they had that whole Hillary Clinton before the election, there would be a fake news story about Hillary Clinton had
the shit you
had
used
a
to
penis.
Post.
And after a while, well, in the beginning, if you remember, I mean, in the very beginning, nobody knew there was fake news on there. Everybody thought what you were seeing on the news feed was real.
Right. No, I didn't think it was real because it's the internet.
Never. Never.
On
a Facebook news feed, if Joe Curry posted something about, well, you guys aren't on the same page, but if Joe Curry posted something about Hillary Clinton being caught for...
I would look at the site it was coming from.
Yeah, and at the time, did you know that
Chickwire.com
wasn't a real site? No.
Yeah, I
didn't know it.
Right, I understand, and a lot of people didn't.
A lot of people did. Like, David, you know, what David said is, like, I would go to the site that it was coming from and investigate. A lot of people don't. A lot of people still don't.
No, they don't.
No. Joe, you didn't pass that on without not knowing?
I'm sorry?
You didn't. So if you saw something that came across the wire, you know, I don't even know how it happens, but sometimes during the election, I would get, like, 3 news stories or 4 news stories that went to the right, and I could just scroll through them and pull them to the left to see what it was saying about Hillary Clinton, to see what it was saying about Donald Trump, to see what. And if one of them was on there and it was like something really bad against Hillary Clinton, I would pass it on or share it, not realizing that it was, you know, dope.com.
I was guilty of the same thing. And Davin, you know, Davin, to his credit, would call me out on it. And since then, I do look at the source and see where.
Now I do. I don't pass that on. If I see the redpundit.com, I don't
on. No, you posted something from something about Hillary's, from some chick's website that I never heard of. Today.
Which one?
Today, I don't know.
Salon?
No, not Salon.
No, it was the New York Post.
No, not that. Not that. It was something else. It was like something about Obama. You said something about Obama arrested, and it was like some woman's website. And I was
going to. I'm going to look at that. I'm going to look at. Go ahead. As you're talking, you guys talk.
No, no. If I post stuff, it's going to be from mainstream media. And by mainstream media, I'm including Fox News in that. Yeah. I'll post something from a Fox News website. I'm not posting something from left wing blog pages or right wing blog pages.
I do the same thing, and as soon as I see something like that, I will go to it. I'll just take a look at it. 9 times out of 10, you know, it's very opinionated, and you know, and I'm both sides of the aisle as well.
Yeah, I'm just not interested in hearing other people's opinion.
Here's the deal. That's you and I. You know,
SarahCarter.com?
Yeah, what is a SarahCarter.com?
Sarah Carter is the one that's reporting and investigating all of this.
Who the fuck is Sarah? What is her credibility?
What has she done?
Terminator movies.
I was thinking that when he posted
Sarah Connor.
I was thinking that.
Close. Sarah Carter. Joe, you watch Fox News. You watch Fox News, right, Joe?
Yes.
All right, so you know who Sarah Carter is. She's on Hannity every night.
Oh, is she? Okay, I didn't.
She's that girl that reports everything that's going on. So Sarah Carter is an actual reporter who's reporting this. And I wouldn't have done that if that was like SarahConnor.com. I wouldn't have done it, but I know who Sarah Carter is.
I would have to take a serious look at her because Hannity's already been fucking caught lying. And we know Hannity is Trump's boy. See, if you're somebody's boy, like, I wouldn't take something from Hillary's boy or girl. I would fucking take that. I wouldn't, like, what was it, Donna Brazile and
Donna
shit?
Brazil.
Yeah, I would take that with a grain of salt. Like,
why?
Because I know they're in the tank for somebody. I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in somebody who's in the tank for Trump or Hillary. I'm not interested in that.
Russia routed millions of dollars to influence Hillary Clinton in uranium. Newsweek.com. Is that a legitimate source?
I would have to. No, Newsweek is a legitimate source, yes.
All right, so I would have to look.
I would have to look at the article, though.
All right, so look at the article.
I remember seeing that post this morning. Yeah, I remember seeing that.
Right. But unfortunately, I'm always skeptical of Walt because in the heyday of 2016, he posted a lot of bullshit.
Yeah, but nobody knew what fake news was at the time.
Yeah, we did know what fake news. It's what you used to call bullshit. That's
right. I didn't know.
I told you.
You're an ass.
I told you. Then you and Johnny Watson's wife would lose their mother would lose their shit on me. I was telling you this is bullshit.
No, well, not all of it was bullshit because it came back. The wiretapping would be on a bullshit news show, and he was getting wiretapped.
No, he wasn't getting wiretapped.
He got wiretapped, Joe.
He was the Obama administration. There was
they wiretapped
not
him.
They didn't wiretap Donald Trump. They were wiretapping people they were investigating that happened to be in Trump's building.
That's right.
Trump got picked up. They weren't going after
Donald
Trump.
That's correct.
That's different than
they went after people in his team.
Right, because the FBI was investigating, which we didn't know.
From a FISA warrant that was bullshit.
Right, which is why they have 3 guilty pleas. Right. Okay.
Who's guilty?
But the FISA warrant.
There's been.
Who?
The FISA warrant was bullshit.
Papadopoulos?
Papadopoulos, he said that he talked to the Russians. That had nothing to do with Trump.
No, there's been 3 of them that have already
pled.
Gates?
Flynn? Yeah, but that was tax evasion before Trump even became president.
No.
Yes.
No, you got to stop watching Fox News.
Manafort. What about Manafort?
He hasn't pled yet. He's been indicted. He hasn't pled yet. We'll find out.
He pleaded not guilty, by the way.
Right. Well, I'm saying, it'll go to court. It's coming to court in the.
But that's about tax evasion back in 2013.
No, it's much more than that. It's much more than that. And then you hear these reports.
Where are you getting that from? CNN?
Well, I mean.
Probably.
Any news you get, remember this, and I put this on Facebook. Whatever news you see on TV is what they want
right,
you
but
to
I
believe.
Can also, but if it's legitimate news, I can...
Is
I,
it?
Well, let me finish my point. If it's legitimate news, I can fact check it. There'll be cross references.
What is legitimate news these days?
Associated Press.
You're going to tell me that CNN? Reuters. CNN has been caught lying numerous amounts of times. So how do you take any of it?
I don't listen to the pundits. Oh. I mean, for entertainment value, but I don't form my opinion. Like with Donald Trump, and then I want to move on with the story. With Donald Trump, I don't care what the pundits
are talking about.
With Facebook. Oh. With Donald Trump, I listen to what he says. Listen to the shit he says.
Right.
You know, well, I'll give you an example. The speech the other night in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Donald Trump says, I'll give you an example. You vote for the Democrats, they're going to take away your guns. He says that. A couple of days earlier, he's sitting there with everybody. He goes, no, I think we should take away the guns first and then do due process. He fucking said take the guns away without due process.
He also
listen to what he says. I don't need a pundit to tell me he's fucking nuts.
Did you happen to hear him call... Sleepy-eyed Chuck Todd, that son of a bitch.
Yeah, that does nothing for me.
It does. That makes me.
I understand.
That makes me like. Thank you, Joe.
I understand.
Enjoy it with me, Joe.
That does nothing. Yeah. You know what? If we were doing a roast, that would be fucking fantastic.
That's awesome. He's not like the other 44 presidents.
He's not going to be.
And the next president is not going to be.
Because if you think that you're going to have somebody, a politician that's going to be, you know, dyed in the wool and, you know, so staying like that.
Hold on. I think you can have somebody who's a little different and not so PC and not have somebody calling somebody son of a bitch. There's a middle ground. That's all I'm asking for. All right. So Facebook gives preference to people to pay, and they flatten everything out. What they're saying is that the internet is less interesting now because everybody's going to Facebook. Everybody looks the same. Everything looks the same. I would agree with that.
But you want to know something, though? Yeah, but, you know, with that in mind, Facebook has been around for, what, 10 years now?
Yeah.
And there's always been the next big thing that comes up. The perfect example is MySpace. I mean, MySpace.
Well, MySpace was first.
And then Facebook, just disintegrated that. As Facebook gets big and bloated and starts to have their own rules, there's going to be a new thing that's going to come out that's going to put Facebook.
Well, there is new things. You know, there are new things. Old people like us that are now on Facebook. The kids have left Facebook.
Yeah.
You're absolutely
they're on Instagram. They're on Snapchat.
Do you feel that with comedy writing and new places to show your craft, I'm sure they have evolved, but you'll be able to go there to get your links and to get people?
No, I agree with the article. I agree with the article. Facebook is making the internet more boring. There's no I've said for years, there's no money in comedy and the fucking internet.
But Facebook does what I need it to do.
I understand that.
That's it.
But you're not a content creator.
Some of it is.
You're not a content creator.
What do you mean?
You don't create videos.
Oh, no. Sometimes I do.
You know, yes, it is. You know?
Wait, what? What, and, Joe?
Oh, in promoting the club and getting the club out there and people, you know, coming in and getting the word out there, yes.
That's not content.
Somebody that's writing content, and sending it somewhere where it could be, you know, you could try to make some money and have people go there and try to build something, that's going to be a little rough. But there are certain things in certain aspects in a written format, yes. But in a video format, where if you want to have a show, do a video, you know, make a video or do a show, there is a new emerging thing like Hulu and Amazon.
Right, and you got to get signed. You got to remember, a lot of those contracts, they don't pay either. You get paid per views. And they don't promote you unless you have a certain amount of views. I mean, you can get a Hulu deal or an Amazon Prime deal, and nobody will see your work. I know people who have stuff on those things. It's the same type of thing.
But the thing about it in that context, if you have a project and nobody's biting, you know, and you want to get that product out there, it does give you the opportunity where a network might not or a cable company might not. You know, but that's a decision you have to make with your writer.
Right, but what they're saying is the opportunities are still out there. You can still create stuff for, say, Funny or Die or whatever.
Right.
But to actually make money on it.
No, you're not going
to. Pay a step. That's what they're saying.
And
we've seen it in stand-up comedy. You know, people don't go to clubs anymore because they think it's the same as watching a YouTube clip a lot of times.
Yep.
It's the same thing, you know?
The funny thing
think
is,
about this. You're going to do it.
You know, you meet people after the show, and they go, I haven't been in a comedy club before. Wow, I see it on TV, but yep. What an experience.
Right,
yes.
And, you know, you're going, well, yeah, because there is a... And, you know, it's like, this person came out and saw a club. Now they're hooked. How many people have not come out to the club yet because they think it's the same thing as on TV? It's
right.
Not like a live, it's totally not like a live performance.
Right. Well, right. And I think comedy does a bad job of promoting itself as something different.
But even this radio show.
As a club owner?
Was that?
Well, because David said, well, you know, comedy does a bad job of promoting it as a live performance on that. So what's your take on that as a club owner?
I think that most comics go on there and say, hey, I'm going to be at the Grizzly Pear, and I keep using that as an example, but I'm going to be at Uncle Vinny's Comedy Club. You see Paul Vanier putting him on there. You know, he plugs it, and he shows Dino that he's trying to get people in the seats, but the people are either going to go or they're not going to go.
Right, but what we're saying is comedy doesn't do a good job of promoting itself.
Yeah,
you never...
How would you convince patrons to come out to the club, like to show them that there is a difference between the live comedy experience, you know, and getting that experience, the live comedy experience that you can't get on TV? How would you? Do you have any ideas how to promote that idea to try to get them in?
Well,
and
Mike,
kind of
I'll tell you what Mike does when he sends out an email, and we have about a 6,000 or 7,000 email list. He'll send out every week a sneak peek.
Right.
So what he does is he takes a video clip, a good video clip off of the internet. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you don't have a good video clip, he'll do it, or maybe he'll just skip over it if it's that bad. But just somebody like who did we have this past week? I don't even know who we had. Buddy Fitzpatrick
right.
We had this week. If Buddy Fitzpatrick, there's a clip on there that's clean, which is probably the Gotham Comedy Club Access TV, Gotham Access.
Right.
He'll send a clip of it a little bit. And there's been people who came and said, we had to come see this guy because the video clip you sent out on the email.
Right, but that's not what Joe's saying. Joe is saying.
In a way, it kind of is.
Right, but the thing is, the video clip is, again, watching it on TV. What we're saying is, and it's just them falling.
Yeah.
It's the industry. There needs to be a way, and you don't see it in any advertising. There needs to be a way, hey, you like the video. Come see it live. It's a much different experience.
You want to know something? I'm sorry, Davin. What he kind of said is saying that, you know, where that you had Buddy's clip up there, a patron saw it, and it's saying, wow, you see this guy, I'm going to come down to the club and see it from something that you saw in a video getting to the club. So I'm not trying to push your shoes.
That's also on a very small scale. That's 6 to 7.
Granted, but it does. It,
those are already comedy fans. He's already promoting to comedy fans. You never see an advertisement on TV. You used to. I mean, there's someone
who would do it though.
Well, the clubs. But I'm saying they don't do it.
No, because you don't make your money back for the advertising you pay for the people coming.
I don't know if that's the case or not the case. But what I'm saying is you don't see it on TV. You know, you see fucking advertisements for the New York Jets during when the playoffs are happening. The Jets go, hey, we're still here. I mean, I know we don't play in January, but
when Walt's booking MetLife Stadium, then the margin will be there to cover that.
That's correct.
Well, Tom and Jenny will be very fucking happy to play. To
very happy. Melvin George will be playing MetLife Stadium.
Very exciting stuff. Yeah. Fucking halftime show.
Well, have you ever done like the Siri thing? Well, on my phone, you're just talking to the and ask them like right now. And I don't know if it's going to work, but I'm going to try it. Is like if you go in and you say, who is DL Ugly?
I'm just saying, if you go in,
like on Siri, but on my phone, I have a Droid. I'll go in and I'll play it for you online on the mic here. But I know DL Ugly is playing right now at Levity Live. He's going to be at Levity Live. If I go in and say DL Ugly, right, it'll say DL Ugly is a comedian, blah, 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 blah. He's going to be playing April 5th to April 7th at Levity Live in West Nyack. That comes up if you ask who D.L. Ugly is.
Okay.
Right.
Did you know that?
No.
And it knows. I'm going to see if it actually works because I know I just researched D.L. Ugly. I mean Levity Live to see who was there, and I'm going to see if they say that. And that answers your question is somebody's doing it.
Right, right. It's probably taken off the website of the IMDb, linking it to the website.
Yeah, I don't think it's paid for by the club.
D.L. Hughley.
According to Wikipedia, Daryl Lynn Hughley is an American actor, political commentator, radio host, and stand-up comedian.
And, of course, it made me a liar.
All right, thank you, Walt. Yeah, thank you for that contribution.
At that point, it should have... It has said it in the... In,
sure it does, Walt. Sure it does. And your girlfriend in Canada. Right, we know.
Craig Shoemaker. There you go.
Good boy, Walt. Good boy. Good girl, Siri.
There you go. So Craig Shoemaker. And so now Siri just, or whatever, whoever it is on Droid, tells you who it is. I mean,
right,
where they're
you,
playing.
You have to look. You have to ask for that person.
Yeah, but it, but if you...
You're already a fan of that person.
No,
you're already
no.
a fan of that person.
All right, I'm not a fan
what
of
I'm
somebody.
Saying
name
is
somebody. Name somebody.
Joe Curry.
Joe. All right, let's see.
God.
Comedian Joe Curry.
I gotta go.
Nothing. Nothing came up.
No.
Now, your Comedy Works video came up.
All
but
right.
Here, I'll put in...
I won't show up.
Sebastian Maniscalco.
According to Wikipedia, Sebastian Joseph Maniscalco is an American stand-up comedian.
So it's something with Wikipedia.
Okay, maybe
so.
A
so if we write it, if we write a page about Joe Curry, you know, on Wikipedia, something might come up. All right, that's fine.
I'm just saying that to answer Joe's question, I just happened to ask
you're
a question.
You're already a fan. I'm talking about you got to win new fans. You're already you're asking for specific people.
I'm asking, right.
Yeah, what I'm saying is you don't see commercial. And it might not be worth it financially.
It's not.
That's the problem.
It's not.
That's the problem. Somebody needs to figure out how to get to the general public. Hey, remember stand-up comedy? It's a great night of entertainment.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's much better than sitting at home watching it on YouTube.
You know how many people
Walt, I got to ask you a side question. I always ask the guy because with Sebastian, I always feel the club owners are kind of bummed that he went to the next level because Sebastian is funny. Never gives you a problem and makes a shit pile of money for the club, and it's like it's like a weekend you don't have to worry about. But
that's
now
correct.
We're doing theaters, and you guys are having a problem getting them now. You know, it's kind of
yeah. Tough. I mean, Dino used to get him. I remember Dino. He was going to be there in April, August of whatever year it was.
Yeah.
And I knew that, and I called up. I want to say I called up in like April.
Yeah.
And the girl down there told me that the tickets for that. They added like three shows onto it too.
Yeah.
The tickets for that were sold out Valentine's Day, and now I see that he's going to be. Where's he going to be? He's going to be down at the Borgata.
Yeah,
he was going to be there for like four shows: two on Friday, two on Saturday. They added two on Sunday. They added two on Thursday. They added two on Wednesday. They added two on Tuesday. They added a third show on Saturday. I mean, this guy is just beyond and. That's why.
He's like Vic DiBattista.
Yeah, but you know what? And this is the excuse we got for Sebastian Maniscalco. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Why would he do 200-seat theaters when he can go and do a 4,000-seat theater?
Right. Yeah.
It's true. And like I said, you know.
And do one show instead of 18 shows.
Right.
Yeah. And the thing about it for you, you know, you club owners, it used to be, like I said, he was a great guy. He's cool. He makes a shitload of money for the club. And it's a worry-free weekend. There's no drama. There's no bullshit. So, I feel bad for, you know, guys like you where now he's doing these theaters.
Yeah, I don't feel bad.
You know, I'm not talking as a club.
There's only two guys I know that are money in the bank, Sebastian and
right,
Vic.
Right, right.
Yeah. That's it.
Right. Yeah.
And one of those guys you can still get.
I can still get him, but it's not cheap.
No, it's not cheap.
Yeah.
All right. So, this happened a couple of weeks ago, but I thought it was an interesting story. So Sony Pictures had to apologize for their movie Peter Rabbit, of all things. Sony Pictures Entertainment has issued an apology over a controversial scene in the film Peter Rabbit, during which a character with an allergy to blackberries is attacked with the offending food stuff. Food allergies are a serious issue, wrote representatives of Sony Pictures Entertainment. Our film should not have made light of Peter Rabbit's arch nemesis, Mr. McGregor, being allergic to blackberries, even in a cartoonish slapstick way. We sincerely regret not being more aware and sensitive to this issue, and we truly apologize. In the film, Mr. McGregor, Peter Rabbit's enemy, passes away, and his nephew Tom comes to oversee the vegetable patch and Exterminate the
you
Vermin.
You can't say shit no more.
It's
you
a kid's
can't
movie.
Do nothing.
It's a kid's movie. It is Tom McGregor, the villain of the film, whom the audience and Peter Rabbit learns has an allergy to blackberries. In one scene, the rabbits throw blackberries at Tom, aiming for his mouth. Tom goes into anaphylactic shock and turns red before stabbing himself with an EpiPen. A charity organization called Allergy UK has since said the scene mocks allergy sufferers and is irresponsible move on the part of filmmakers. Carla Jones, charity CEO, told The Telegraph, anaphylaxis can and does kill. To include a scene in a children's film that included a serious allergic reaction and not to do it responsibly is unacceptable, as is bullying. Mocking allergic diseases shows a complete lack of understanding of the seriousness of food allergy and trivialness of the challenges faced by those who live with the condition, particularly parents who live in fear of their child. A change.org petition was started to ask for Sony to apologize. They called it allergy bullying. The petition also says the film mocks the seriousness of allergic disease and is heartbreaking and disrespectful. So the petition had attracted a little over 10,000. Anyway, the Food Allergy Research and Education Organization also warned on families their Facebook about the allergy scene suffering a life-threatening reaction. Now, you know what? I think the first reaction is to mock this. I think that's the first reaction.
Do you want
to
bet that this is not a Republican who made the complaint? Or any of them? I want to bet that this
is
liberals looking
no,
for
I think
a
you're
reason.
Wrong. I think
that's
you're wrong.
Bullshit.
No,
you know
you're
what?
Wrong.
Allergies are part of life.
No.
You know what? Now they're going to go back and they're going to research and Bambi. You can't kill Bambi. Get PETA out.
I think Bambi. Listen, you gotta live in the times we are. I don't think Bambi would be made the way
Why?
It was not. Because there's a lot of animals that died.
Okay, you know what? In my take, here's the deal. If it was like a Family Guy type of cartoon or a Family Guy or like a The Simpsons, everybody's got to get their skirts off and lighten up.
Yes.
It's a children's film.
Yes.
Okay, and if it's geared to children, there's a problem with that. Well, to go back with that one show where it's a certain type of thing and there was a comic that wasn't right or the material wasn't right, you had to move that comic to put the right material. It's almost the same thing here with what it's a children's thing, and this material in this context, in this movie, is not appropriate, where it was an adult cartoon. We'll laugh your balls off at it. It's hysterical.
Right.
You know, so there is a thing where it might have, if it's geared to children, it's not, I don't feel it would be appropriate to be in the.
So, Joe, you're agreeing with this?
Yeah, I am. For the simple reason, it's a children's.
Know your audience. Know your audience. That's really.
You know, it's geared to children, and it's for children.
Let's put it this way. Let's put it this way. Allergies can kill. Food allergies can kill. We mock it because it wasn't a big thing when we were growing up. But now it is a big thing. Maybe because all the fucking animals are on antibiotics and shit.
No, and I'll tell you what. Mark, you know Mark Vieira? You know the name Mark Vieira?
I know you fight with him on Facebook.
Yeah. He was at the club 2 weeks ago. But I remember one thing he said, and he does it in one of his bits, that we never had allergies when we were kids.
Right.
You know when we started getting allergies? When everybody started using hand sanitizer, because
right.
It's killing the germs that used to fight the allergies.
Sure, right. I'm not disagreeing. But here we are. Here we are with the situation that we're in, and it is life or death for a lot of these kids. You would never see a scene in a kid's movie where somebody stabs himself with an AIDS-infected fucking syringe. It's the same thing. AIDS can kill. You know, food allergies can kill. I mean, my first reaction is when I heard this was like, really? But I agree with Joe now, and I thought Joe did a great job of bringing it back to the situation you had where the fundraiser said, we're a little concerned he's not appropriate for this fame. It's not that there's a time and place for everything.
Right. Now, going back to that, if you go, but that guy's stuff is funny, but it's not appropriate for that gig. At a firehouse show, I want that son of a bitch closing, and I'm going to sit down and laugh my balls off watching him.
That's right.
You know, and believe me, you know me, I'm for free speech and all that, but, and especially with the food allergies, yeah, they've changed a lot of the dynamics of the food with the chemicals and with the hand sanitizer, and it with kids, even though as you know, in our generation, we laugh at it, for kids, it's damn serious.
I got a joke about it in my act. I got a joke about it. I asked the audience, I go, do you guys get a lot of trick-or-treaters? Most of the times they say no. Kids don't trick-or-treat now anymore. I go, neither did we. I don't know what we did wrong. We were handing out peanuts and gluten. But you know what? I'm doing it for an adult show. I'm not doing it for a fucking kid show. The people are in the context of this is an adult night of entertainment. I'm not bringing little children to hear me mocking their allergies.
Is this part of your best 45 minutes?
It's very funny. It's very funny.
I'm just wondering if that could be that could be the first eight seconds of your best 45 minutes.
I don't know about 8 seconds in.
It'd be in.
It's in
just 8 seconds.
23-minute mark.
Yeah. Put it in there for 8 seconds of good material.
But you know what? That is something generic enough I could throw in there to go back to that. But yes, I don't think this is a...
I'm sorry. I think it's bullshit.
I don't
think if you can make a horror movie...
Are your kids alert? Do your kids have like certain allergies?
No.
But I think you would feel differently.
I would punch my
did.
Kids in the face if they were allergic to something.
Or give them peanuts.
Right? I have diverticulitis.
I don't even know what that is.
Diverticulitis is little divots in your what do you call it? The intestines. And... for the lack of better terms, if a peanut that doesn't digest gets stuck there, it traps shit in the divots, and then you get a big inflammation.
You got to take Metamucil. That'll fix that.
Well, it's supposed to, but then you have to go get an antibiotic to stop the swelling and stuff like that. So I'm not supposed to eat anything like seeds or peanuts, anything that doesn't digest, corn.
But you're not supposed to eat. There's difference between eat and being exposed to. When these kids have these food allergies, it's airborne. That's how fucking crazy it is. That's why you can't have peanut butter in the lunchroom. I get annoyed by it. I'm like, this is still the old school part of me. Like, really, really? But I get it.
I get it too. But it's still part of life. And they're saying, don't throw blueberries into Mr. Magoo's mouth or whatever his name is. Don't throw blueberries in there, but this could be a happen.
I think for a kids movie, I think Sony did the right thing by apologizing.
They did it because they didn't want the backlash.
Yeah, sure.
That's it. That's
sure.
all it is. They could give
and,
a shit
you know
because
and
they would have thought of it when they made it.
And you know what? And you moved the comic because you didn't want the backlash.
That's correct.
Sure. I
Absolutely.
Get it. I know there's a party that took that call and go, really? Really? I'm dealing with this call? But you're a business. You go, okay, let me just
Absolutely.
Move the comic. Sony did. Like, okay, let's just issue the apology.
But when they booked that, when they booked it. Was he talking to us?
For newborns, yeah, you don't want him in there. But a firehouse show, yeah, he's in.
Yeah.
You know, set the date, get him in, you know?
Listen, I don't think we should be. We wouldn't mock cancer. I get it.
When Sony made this movie, they made it with the understanding that nobody's going to bother and we don't really care. And then when somebody made a big deal about it, they apologized.
I don't think they thought.
They wouldn't have made it if they didn't.
I don't think they thought about it.
Well, that's I don't believe that. Sony's big enough to think about that.
You're working on a movie that you're trying to market and make a lot of money and budget and and especially the way the studio looks over the script and reviews the dailies and looks over
Listen,
the notes.
Listen, we've seen enough. We've seen enough major companies put out like racist shit that you go, really? How did that get through advertising?
That's right.
Okay, these companies are not that bright.
Right. I don't believe that.
Let me add something to the story. Where does this differ from our cartoons where they were hitting each other with shovels?
I was thinking that. It's a different time. You can't make that cartoon now.
I guess.
It's a different time. You know, we thought nothing of blowing somebody up. But now you probably can't do it. Although, you know what, Joe? Maybe I'm wrong because they still show those cartoons. They still show them during the day. They still show them on Boomerang.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
You know,
like a Roadrunner.
It could be the way we look at it because, you know, I mean,
those were also animals.
Right. And, really? And this guy, Peter, who was this, Peter Rabbit? Yes, I'm sure.
Right, but the victim of this was a human being. You know what I'm saying?
Now that could be a point in the argument.
Right.
You know, that could be a very good point in the argument that it wasn't when the dog hit when a coyote was after the roadrunner, it wasn't a coyote after a guy, which changes the whole dynamic. It's almost like when you watch a western and you watch a whole cavalry get wiped out, but the fucking horse gets shot, and you're almost in tears.
Yeah,
you know?
That's now.
All right, so to recap, Joe and I feel Sony did the right thing, and Walt's a heartless cock. All right, we're gonna. We'll be back in a few minutes with Bitter on Twitter, so don't go anywhere.